All right, good morning. I actually have 10 seconds to go before 9 o'clock starts. But because this is the SAFDEV admin team, I know everybody's here early and on time. And there we go, 9 o'clock. All right, so I haven't seen you all in a while. It's good to see everybody. Your regular homeroom advisors, either Miss Pinky or Miss Karen, are both predisposed. We have an HR seminar that we sent Miss Karen to attend, and Miss Pinky's doing an Alabang hub benefits orientation today. So I am going to be sitting in today to make sure you're all obeying the rules, you know. So, but I know because I'm a lenient homeroom advisor. Okay. voilà. So we will not do the test that they wanted me to do today. No, I'm kidding. There was no test. Nagpapapoints lang ako kasi I'm gonna speak in a few weeks eh, so kung para kunyari you all love me again and everything. No. Okay, no, but I have a quick question. How do you hear Join Victory since 80s, in the 80s? 80s. Okay, I looked that way, I knew. Okay, 90s. Okay, can I see? Yeah, became a member of Victory in the 90s. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, 2000 to 2005. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 2005 to 2010. Okay, 1, 2. And then the last, 2011, 12, and 13. Okay. All right. Well, you know, we're here today. The topic for today is going to be fun. You're going to have three speakers come in today to talk about what we do as a ministry. And most of you, especially those of you who serve in the local church, you often just see the local church side. But what we do as Every Nation, we exist to honor God and establish Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, socially responsible churches and campus ministries in every nation. And what we're going to have today are... We're going to have Pastor CJ come in and talk to us a little bit about Lifebox. Then Miss Lynn will be coming in at 10 o'clock to talk about our compassion arm, specifically Real Life Foundation. And then later on, we're going to end the morning with Pastor June Escosar putting fire under each one of your seats, you know, making you all feel guilty while you're here. All right? So, because you're supposed to be going. Okay, no, but... this is good. This is really exciting. What we want to do is give you guys a greater appreciation for the rest of the things that we do as an organization. At the end of the day, kasi, I need you all to see your part in achieving the greater picture. At the end of the day, if we don't do our roles, what ends up happening is the Great Commission doesn't get achieved. And you're going to see this as we hear the different parts. Campus ministry is so different from compassion ministry, so different from world missions. But really, at the same time, it's the same. And you're going to have a greater appreciation for each one of them. Okay, so it's my privilege to introduce and pass the microphone over to Pastor CJ. I won't take much time so that he can spend a lot of time talking about his stuff. But I just want to brag about the guy. I deeply respect him. He's one of the guys. We're peers in the sense that we're like a batch apart yata in the School of World Missions like this. But in terms of stature and respect, we are worlds apart. I look up to him. Okay, he's one of the guys that I know. Even though he is roughly my age, everybody my batch looks up to Pastor CJ. When I was growing up in campus ministry, I wanted to be like CJ. Wala pa ako, there was already a CJ in campus ministry. When we first even conceptualized the whole idea of campus ministry, CJ was already a pioneer and trailblazer in what we know today as campus ministry. Okay, no, but seriously, this man can... given the opportunity, and many opportunities have actually been given, he could be a senior pastor of a mega church if he wanted to. But for whatever reason, because he loves young people, he chooses to spend his time traveling across the different parts of the nation. Okay, him and his wife, Mai, are a dynamic duo. You're going to have fun here. Could we all give a big hand? Pastor CJ.
Thank you, Pastor Carlos.
Siguro lang while we're working on this, no, let's just, yeah.
Anyway, it's such an honor for me to be here. I guess I can never overemphasize how grateful we are for the things that you do. I do know most of you by face. Some of you, I've known you personally. Others, not that much. But again, on behalf, I guess, of our, why am I thinking? Yeah, let me say thank you to you guys right away. No? So you deserve that anyway. So anyway. There you go. Yes. Sige. I just want to be able to say thank you for everything that you do. I have to pick it up from my slide. No? That's my cue. Anyway, I got saved way back when I was in high school. That was 1992. Contrary to what Pastor Carlos said, we're like batchmates talaga, no? We still remember when we first dreamt of having 1,000 people in a youth camp. If you remember that, Pastor Carlos. And we finally saw that come to pass last year 2000 when we, in a sense, we made such a daring attempt to do a national youth camp for 3 days and 2 nights in Subic. I mean, that's just super chaos, super exciting. But at the same time, it just proved to us and said that if we invest our lives in young people, this is something that we would want to see our movement keep on doing. And not just that, but I guess for most part, I don't want to assume, no, but who among you, you got saved when you were students in your campuses? There you go. Some of you, I don't have anything to take away if you didn't get saved as a student, you know, in your own campus. But right before I go on to my topic for all of us here today, my goal, my desire is that we have a greater appreciation when it comes to our campus ministry. This is how we started off as a campus ministry. This is where, you know, this is like one of our crown jewels as well. But I would want to ask some of you, what do you think, how do you think your current role and responsibility relates to campus ministry now? I mean, think about your current role. Think about your current responsibility, whatever post you're in. You know, whatever technical things you're doing, how does this relate to campus ministry? I mean, or how does this, like, much of what you do or this part of what you do, as you track it down along the way, this is how it ends up affecting campus ministry. Can you go ahead and think about that for a few seconds? And let me ask a few of you. Okay lang ba yon? Yeah, sure. I'm sure you'll say yes to that. Like you, for example, Harold. It's the first time, I guess, I've met you. So I'll ask you first. I mean, how do you think, what do you do?
Currently, I function as the Compassion Ministry Administrator for Victory QC. So,
all right.
So I oversee, partly, I oversee the Real Life Scholars.
Right.
So, and most of them are actually, well, all of them are part of our campus ministry.
Okay. So, that's good. I guess it's easier to track it down that way, huh? You're doing Real Life Scholar, they are students, they're getting discipled as they go ahead and, you know, do their academic studies. So how about you, Jenny? How do you feel like your current role and responsibility relates to the next generation or campus ministry?
Well, yeah, in communications, where I am, I try to provide whatever support
okay.
They need in terms of marketing, communications, promotions,
right.
and all of that.
Thank you. I guess we really need that so that our communication lines will become clear. How about you, Kenneth?
I work in finance, so I...
Oh, yeah, we need that a lot.
Okay.
in I'm campus actually, ministry. Anyway, you're just kidding.
We see to it that, for example, the cash advances are on time so that the funds that you need for you to be able to to execute your plans for the life backs.
Thank you so much. I know we bother you a lot from our requests and our surpluses and everything else. Anyway, how about you, Ms. Marian, from the Operations Worldview?
Yeah.
How do you affect us, you think?
Well, here in the building, because we handle the reservation of the rooms. So
okay.
Technically, your school, your meeting, so anything that you need to, you know,
thank
if
you.
You get to huddle and meet about your plans and all, so we make sure you have rooms.
Yeah, thank you so much for giving us 101 until Ignite comes. I guess for most part, for some of us, we may see the direct correlation. For some of us, we feel like, you know, it passes through one line over the other before we see its connection. But, you know, the truth is we all are here because we are in campus ministry. Honestly, we're here. Our church is for the next generation. For whatever matter that is, the technical job description that you have, your job description, your job, your admin role, your passion, your desire affects campus ministry. That's why I would like to discuss with us today about What's this? It's not working. There you go. A day in the life of a campus missionary. Okay? Let me start off by giving us a very short history on how we started as a campus ministry. 1984, our church started off, not necessarily as Victory, but as Maranatha. That's in Recto Avenue during that time. I mean, I had an opportunity to go to this center several times when I was in high school. I came here over to Manila to, you know, visit my parents, and I was able to go there. Here's what it was back then. Right about 30 years ago, Victory was the church. Victory was the campus ministry. It was like that. We started off in Recto, even if there was no money there, because we believed in the potential of students. And of course, we know how churches are. They grow. They expand. Those students would get married. Those students would have their own jobs, would have their family. And therefore, the need of the church becomes more than just the need of students. It would expand to become a full-blown church. And because we never wanted to lose our emphasis when it comes to campus ministry, we started off what we called as a group, Youth on Fire. Sino sa inyo, honestly, inabutan nyo na tong Youth on Fire. There you go, man. We're all loyalists here. Ay, sorry. What's happening here? If you just asked me, I would have kept this name forever. You know? This was the time when I was born. I mean, born in my, you know, Christian walk. It was Youth on Fire back then. I've always wanted it to be Youth on Fire. But for some reason, we did change the name. It came to a point wherein we have to change our name, and it became what we've known then as, I guess for a short while, it was Victory Campus Ministries. It was a very, very short stint. It was a few groups like in QC, like in some other pockets in the provinces, that transitioned to Victory Campus Ministries. We felt like there should be no distinction between the church and the campus ministry, because that has always been our heart. If Victory is the church, then Victory is the campus ministry. And we all, most of us, did agree until it came to a point during early 90s or mid-90s wherein we had to change our international name from Morning Star International to Every Nation. So right there and then, we were all commanded in that sense to change our name, even the campus ministry, to become Every Nation Campus Ministries. That's how it happened. And then after a while, when we were having so much momentum in terms of doing our campus outreaches in the campuses, we felt like there was a challenge, in a sense, a struggle in terms of presenting to schools who we are, just because we have the word their ministry on our name. Normally, when we present ourselves to school, and they would tell us, we already have a ministry here. Or if not, what are you, a religious group? We don't hide the fact that we're Christians, okay? Please don't get that wrong. We would tell schools we're Christians. Everything we teach is based on the Bible. If they ask us, are we connected to a church, we'll gladly tell them we're connected to Victory. So it's like that. But the initial approach, you know, the initial meeting, we're already being turned down most of the time because of the word ministry there. So we had the proposal to change the name again. So right about 5 years ago, we have changed the name to what we now know as Lifebox. But we did keep the tagline, preparing students for life. We're under a contract, according to our apostolic leaders, not to change this for 15 years, okay? Because we keep on changing it. So anyway, this is just to show everyone that the names may change, but the vision and the passion and the target group remains to be the same. It has always been that. It's always been about the next generation. We started off as a church because 60 college students or students from the U.S. decided not to, you know, waste their summer break doing something there, but decided to come here for an outreach, which we now know of as our church today. So in the same way, we have never changed our vision. It has always been to honor God and to make disciples. So whether you've been a part of us and you've already known it as Lifebox, or you were there since Youth on Fire days, man, you are greatly affecting our campus ministry. Let me just go ahead and talk about some, you know, principles here that we hold on to when it comes to the greater picture. We call these tables and chairs. For us in campus ministry, we view all our role together as people who sits on the same table, right? This is the table right here. And then that blue dot over there can be Victory. And then there's the gray dot, which is our missions department, our Every Nation. And then this can be real life, and that can be us. Do you like our color coding in the movement? I like it, right? I mean, don't you like it? Green for, you know, real life, and then blue for victory, red for campus ministry. And I would say yellow can be admin, if you don't mind me using yellow. Anyway, and then white can be some vacant chairs. In our ministry and in our movement, whether you're in campus ministry, you're in real life, you're in missions, I'm sure our apostolic leaders have harped this to you, you know, in so many ways. But I would want to repeat that again. We're just like one in the same body. We're just sitting on one big table doing different tasks. But the mission has always been to this: honor God, make disciples. We call it preparing students for life. Real life calls it empowering dreams, or whatever they want to call it. But for us, it's always been this: it's honoring God and making disciples. Now, here's the thing. If even as an admin, you know, you find something that relates to us in campus ministry, what you do relates to us as a campus ministry, in your own personal lives, as you continue on making disciples, as you continue on honoring God, this is what primarily relates you the most to us as a campus ministry. That's what we do. We honor God, we make disciples, and we do that all together. You agree? Tama ba? All right. You know, we can transfer from one place to another, and I guess it's still going to be all the same. Some of you would transition to church staff. Some of you are hired staff. All of us are doing partnership development. But for whatever means we're being supported by what we do, this is all, it all ends up to this. We honor God and we make disciples. All right? We have different roles but one purpose. As a movement, we strongly adhere to this. We don't want it to ever come to a point where in campus ministry, that's campus ministry. No, we are one with the church. We are one with real life. We're one with missions. Parang internally nga, Joe and I keeps on talking about, you know, we see campus ministry more of really like an entry level for our ministers. Honestly, this is not to demean the calling. You know, we believe in the calling. That's why we're staying here for, you know, a long time. But we feel like our next pastors would be coming from campus ministry, which they are right now. We feel like our next long-term missionaries would be coming from here, our next church planters, our next best administrative people, there's Ethel, there's Tristan, will come from campus ministry. And we love that they're doing what they're doing right now because of that. Ruth came from campus ministry, doing full-time campus ministry. And I love that thought, that we're raising up people, you know, making them effective here in campus ministry, and then making them and seeing them more effective in the next stage or the next place where God has called them to go. Here's the thing, our view from here, a day in the life of a campus missionary, okay? Bear with me for talking to you about this so that you'll be able to understand more of what we do. We're going to talk about work, we're going to talk about relationships, and we're going to talk about our life as a campus missionary. Some of you, you're connected to campus missionaries, so you probably know about this. When it comes to work, there you go. Much of our work is campus, okay? It's done in the campuses. Of course, that's why we do campus ministry. Tristan, you see yourself there? We grabbed this picture somewhere and you're still there. Find Tristan, that's the game. There you go. That's good. Work. When we talk about work, we're going to talk about its specific location, the scope, and time frame of what we do. First one, when it comes to the location, campus ministry work is on campus. That makes sense, right? Yeah, we should be found in the campuses. Much of our time should be devoted where the students are. If we can't get into a campus because of technical restrictions coming from the school, then we need to be where they are. That's just what our work entails us to do. So if you don't see us in the offices, that is because that's what we do. Okay? That's why, pardon us for not replying to your emails right away. No, but we don't have any excuses, okay? Meron na marami ng mga Wi-Fi spots in everywhere that we go, so we should be able to respond to that right away. But our work is primarily on the campus. The last time I checked, some of our campus ministry offices looks like this. You know, in our center in U-Belt, we do have 20 staff. and they're being held in a communal room, is what they call it. So in Fort, we have like 15 staff and we have 5 desks downstairs. So that's how it should look like. It's okay. We don't need tables, okay? We don't necessarily need to have our own cubicle and our own desk. We can share. I've transferred tables like 3 or 4 times for the year now. And it's just fine. I can occupy the middle table. It's okay with me to do that. So in Malate, we have 8 staff there and they have like 1 docking station. That's how they want to call it. But docking station is like 1 huge table. That's what it is. So in Metro East, they occupy the kids' church room in case they wanted to, you know, go ahead and do their campus ministry, their technical papers or whatever it is that they need to produce, their preaching. It's just there, Quezon City. It's like 1 long table with 7 campus missionaries, and they have lockers. You're from UC here. I envy your lockers there. When I check out their lockers, it's so nice. I mean, lockers are good so that we can leave our stuff and then go into the campuses. In Ortigas, we have 1 cubicle. So that's how it looks like. Our location is, it's supposed to be in the campuses. Of course, it's not an excuse. We have to be here, you know, during meetings, during staff dev and things like this. But for most part, we need to be where the students are. That's our desire. I mean, who wouldn't enjoy a job like that, you know? I mean, I love my job. Honestly, I do. Our scope is this. It seems like it's a mini church as well. Yeah, we're in the campuses, but when we gather them together here for discipleship, it does look like a mini church. Why? Because we do tithes and offering during our youth services. We do victory weekends. We call it victory groups. Sometimes we brand it as another thing, but if you come to the roots of it, it's really a victory group, right? And then we do also worship services, like there's like youth services happening all throughout the metro and even in the provinces. And we do counseling as well, counseling young people. How many of you have tried counseling a teenager? Tried counseling a teenager. Okay ba? It's good, right? What's your primary experience in counseling a teenager? Like you, Sarah, what did you observe counseling a teenager?
I counseled a student from my old high school.
Okay.
So, meron kagad ate, ano, connection.
Okay.
It was fun and adults naman tayong lahat, di ba? Natatawa ko, kinikip ko na lang yung tawa ko sa loob kasi inisip ko, shucks, ganito ba ako immature dati?
Yeah.
So,
right. That's the thing. You know, that's what campus missionaries encounter. When you start counseling students and you talk to them, you'd begin to reflect and you'd think, was I like this before? Or am I as, you know, dumb as this? Why can I let go of this relationship? I mean, and then, you know, yun ang maganda. I mean, it brings you back to the place wherein you'll get reminded when you got saved. That's what I love about counseling young people. I mean, I'm always reminded. Yeah, that looks silly. That looks, why are you doing this? But, you know, maybe on another degree, I used to do that as well. Maybe with a different expression, but it was like that before. So when you minister to young people, when you disciple young people, the thing there is you get reminded of how you were even before you got saved or maybe when you were a new Christian. I hope it doesn't become a hindrance for us to disciple young people. I mean, for some reason, maybe people would say, you know, I'm too old enough, I could no longer relate to them. Yeah, we may no longer hang out with them the way they do it now. I mean, we may no longer do some Harlem Shake with them, you know, as much as we wanted to. But others still will. I mean, pwede pa rin naman. But, you know, if you don't get to do those things anymore, it's fine. You can still disciple them. One of the great things about the culture of young people is that it changes as well. That's why it's so fine for us to change our names. Really, because it changes. We change through the times. I think I have the privilege to be in between the two very evident changes that has happened in the course of, you know, the life of young people, particularly here in the Philippines. I think during the early 80s, most of the young people are very much cause-oriented. Tell me a cause, di ba, where I can join into and I'll give my full life into it. That's how it was before. That's why rallies are so rampant. Diba? Recto rallies when, you know, Pastor Steve and the team came here. There were so many rallies, so many riots because young people were into it. Give me a good cause and then I'll jump into it. That's why the way we did discipleship was like that as well. That's why the way we evangelized people was like that. I remember we would do mass evangelisms. You know, I remember we are being trained for evangelism when I was a student, and I will be trained to look for a crowd, disturb whatever meeting they have, and tell them that I have a life-changing message that they need to hear. That's how we did it then. You know, may makikita kang crowd doon, tigil muna kayong lahat. Ganon. Meron ako, parang may mensahe ako para sa inyong lahat. So parang lahat sila magugulat. So, because that was the culture then. They would listen to you. Or maybe they would throw stones at you. I mean, for whatever reason, they'll do something about that. I experienced being trained to do evangelism explosion during that time. And I would pass on tracks. That's what we used to do. Or share the two-question test. Have you ever encountered the two-question test? Diba? Parang, you know, if you die today, where will you go? Heaven or hell? That's the first question. The second question is, if Jesus, for example, you're now in the gates of heaven, okay, whoever's guarding that gate, if it's Saint Peter with his rooster, or whoever is guarding that gate, or maybe an angel, before you enter the gate, that person would ask you a question, why should I let you in? Yeah. So the only valid answer, it's because Jesus died for you. So if that is not their answer, you preach the gospel to them. I experienced how it is to preach gospel in jeepneys. You know, we would do it by tandem, and then I would tell the driver, Manong, pakipatay nga yung stereo. Ganun lang. Tapos, meron po siyang, oy, makinig po tayong lahat dito. Hindi kami narito para manghingi ng pera. That was our intro. And then, meron siyang sasabihin sa inyong lahat. Tuturo mo yung kasama mo. And then, you know, that guy would preach the gospel. And then we would thank everyone, salamat po sa pakikinig. And then we would just all, magbabayad kami sa jeep, then maaalis na kami. And it was like that. There was no sense of discipleship. But that was the 80s. But because when it comes to the culture of young people, we, if you notice this, we now, our young people today are a lot more, let me say, financially better, I guess, compared maybe during the, of course, we still have people who are totally underprivileged, but you would see most young people here, they have cell phones, diba? They have nicer cell phones than you do. It has TV, it has, I don't know, all of this stuff. But it was like that. You know, according to studies, it's because the generation of young people now, as it has changed, they're now a product of parents who has worked. Both parents who have worked, parents who probably went overseas, both parents, and then their children stayed here. So we raised up, unintentionally, a generation of young people who longs and seeks for relationships. That's how it has shifted big time, 91, 92. That's why our movement as well instituted victory groups during that time. We used to call it cell groups. Diba? I don't know if you were there during that time when we didn't have victory group materials yet. You know, we made our own material. As a student, we made our own material. That's where we had the culture of taking down notes. You know why we took down notes on a Sunday preaching? Because you will share that the following weekend. I mean weekday within your victory group. If you didn't take down notes, you have nothing to share. So it was like that. And people longed for relationships. That's why if you would see now, yes, there are still groups where people would join into, but for most part, they now long for relationships. That's why the way we have approached campus ministry is more relational now. It used to be a little bit more cost-oriented than youth on fire. You know, we will burn this campus, you know, parang from ground up. Or we were accused as arsonists before. We used to join. Pastor Carlos was there. Yung mga anti-porn rallies. We used to join all of those things, even as a campus ministry. But now it has changed. We've focused in, you know, investing in young people. We focus on doing that thing for them, relationship. Again, we do all of these things that the church does. But we also do life seminars. We also have, like, you know, we talk to teachers. That's another scope that we have as a campus ministry. Next one is the time frame. This is very crucial for us. As a campus ministry, we have four cycles, you know, four-year cycles, so 1 4-year cycle. So it's just a 4-year cycle for us. This is like an average time that a student should stay in college, right? It shouldn't be more than that if it's not a 5-year or a 6-year course, of course. So it's a 4-year cycle. Imagine this, after 4 years, they're all gone. That's just it. We launch them wherever they want to go. If they want to go overseas, work there, hopefully they become a part of our Every Nation churches worldwide, or back to their provinces, or back here to work. It's fine. But we only have 4 years with them. Okay, so think about all of our top volunteers. They're gone in 4 years. That's just it. If they got saved when they were in their second year, we only have 2 years with them. Good if they got saved, you know, a little bit transitioning from high school to college. We do have a full 4 years. You know, remove everything that has been there for 4 years. That's why we're not afraid to speak the same old boring messages. Why? Because this is going to be a next batch of new people. When we did Ignite 2 years ago, when we asked who among you it's your first time to, you know, join a campus conference like this, right about maybe 85 to 90% of them raised up their hands and said, it's their first time. They haven't attended any of our campus harvests before. I've been to almost every campus harvest, I guess. And it's okay, because everything that has been there 4 years ago can be gone now. Or in the next 4 years, in 2017, whatever we have now, the group of people, leaders, pool of resources we have, they may no longer be there. And that's what we do. We work with what's left. That's why we keep on raising leaders as fast as we can. You know, we've come to a point of accepting that when it comes to our time frame, we only have 4 years. So we have to beat that. We just have to be faster than 4 years. That's our mindset. It's not like, oh, we only have 4 years. Okay, this guy's already in danger or paalis na yan. No, no, we need to work faster than that. Our discipleship process should work faster than 4 years. It should be that. We have to come to a point of being able to empower that student before he or she graduates. Sometimes it's lesser than 4 years. Sometimes we only have a year. Sometimes we only have months before they're gone. But that's our desire, that we may be able to work through and in their lives within 4 years. All right, when it comes to our relationships. Relationships. You see Patrick there, that's his vintage picture. Anyway, investments, costs, and shareholders in campus ministry. So when it comes to ministering to young people, as we've all experienced it, what do you think is more of like your investments, the investments that you give, or the primary investment that you put into when it comes to relating or maybe discipling a young person? Like Claudette, what do you think? It's time, right? Again, student discipleship is 24/7. You're right, it's time. It's time. I mean, who among you here are married and you do have children? There you go. I'm sure you can relate to the thought that, I mean, time doesn't get, parang you don't have much luxury of time, you know, with everything that you do now as a parent and someone who's working. Or even if you're not yet married, you feel like time is trying to cramp up on you a little bit more each day. It's really like that. I guess I would always say to our campus missionaries that from this time on, your responsibility doesn't get any lesser. Our goal is that you become so effective with what you do. And I'd say the same thing to all of you. I mean, your responsibility won't get any lesser. It'll become more and more, and it'll get more and more time. And this can be one of the things that you would necessarily feel like I need to let go of, which is to disciple a young person. Maybe hindi ko na to kailangan gawin because I need to do these things. But I guess I'm standing here before you today to challenge you not to let go of that. Please invest your life in a young person. Again, if you're married and you do have children, you have your children to invest on. But my challenge is still take another young person, a college student, a high school student whom you can invest your life on. Much of them are really looking for an ate or a kuya figure or a daddy. Sad to say, no? Yung iba pwede ng daddy or a mommy figure. Whatever they call you, don't be offended, okay? If they call you ate, if they call you momsi, if they call you tita, it's fine. But please invest your life in a young person. You would never know the extent of how you're going to affect these people's lives. You'd see them later on and you'd be glad you invested a bit of your time for them. We're all busy, okay? We all have something to do. We all have personal responsibilities as well. But please invest your time in a young person. That's what we do. We invest our time with them and the cost. But the thing is our cost. Diba? What's the cost of us? You know, what's the cost? It's emotional investment also, right? I mean, like what Sarah said a while back, I mean, it's like, what? Parang it's just so difficult sometimes to counsel a young person because as you, what you've noticed also, they have the same problems over and over again. But here's the thing about a young person, about a college or a high school student. They know if you're connected to them or not. They just know it. For some reason, they sense that because they long for that. Remember, they long for a relationship which was supposed to be given to them primarily by their parents. But I can't blame parents, okay, for, you know, leaving overseas and wanting a better future financially for their family. But this is what young people are looking for. That's why they know if you're investing in them emotionally as well. I'm not saying you get, you know, you become ultra super close to these people, but there is a bit of an emotional investment there, di ba? Be there when they cry. Be there when they're down. Which young people, you'd find their problems so petty, honestly. I mean, you know, they're thinking about their next allowance. They're thinking about their grades. But they're thinking about their crush who did like their Facebook status. Parang, I mean, parang, man, I had that status written for her and then she didn't even like it. Parang for me, please, give me a break. I mean, I always wanted to say that every time I'm facing a young person. Can you please wake up, you know, come to your senses. Pwede ba kitang iuntog sandali? And then, you know, pagkauntog ko sa'yo, let's talk again. Parang, wake up. But you know, you just couldn't do that, especially if they're new in the Lord. Of course, if you're raising them up to become leaders, it comes to a place where you invest still on them emotionally. You tell them, hey, you should no longer be like that, bro, but I'm going to stand with you until we see you break through from that struggle that you're in. There is a lot of emotional investment involved in here. So I guess for most part, we invest time, but also the cost would be emotions, okay? Are you okay to do that? Diba? You should be, right? Jeff, you fine with that? Show a bit of emotion, brother. That's just how it goes. Eh. These young people know. They know if you're faking it. They know if you're totally interested, you know, with them, or you're just, this is just a task for him, so I might as well go to the next one. You who have teenagers know this. I mean, you know if the child is disconnected or not. So it takes a while, but for whatever it's worth, investing on a young person would always be something you won't regret, honestly. I've discipled people whom I've seen no longer with the Lord even today, and I still don't regret discipling that person. I feel like, ano ba naman yun? Nasayang yung oras ko dun. Na-hand over din pala siya kay devil. No, I don't say that. I mean, my thought is one day there's been an investment, seeds that has been planted. I don't know for, you know, why he had to do that. He had to go through that kind of life. But one day, that thing, you know, that seed will bloom to become the best or the biggest tree in the garden, and he will come to his senses. Or you would see young people now. I guess most of you came from campus ministry too, and I'm glad to see where you are right now. And for people you will disciple as well, you'll look back 10 years from now, and it's be worth investing. That's the cost. Okay, our shareholders as campus ministry, shareholders meaning people we're accountable to, or, you know, again, we're not just our own organization, okay? We do lead this. We know our focus. It's going to be students, but these are the people we're accountable to. As somebody from Lifebox, we're accountable to Victory. We are the campus ministry of Victory, okay? We're not, we used to call Youth on Fire a socio-civic organization, that does this, that does that. We do have discount cards. If you present it elsewhere, they give you 10% discount. We used to do those things, okay? But we're not that anymore. We have to say we're a church-based campus ministry. And our church is none other than Victory. Does that mean that every student should be a part or should go to Victory? Not at all. If it comes to a point that we don't have a Victory church closest there to their location, then okay lang. We can even help you find one if you want to. We're accountable to Victory. Of course, as a campus missionary, that person is accountable to us as Lifebox. And then to students. it is our desire to, you know, not to conform to the changing culture, but to know the changing culture of young people. It's our desire. That's our goal. We need to know what's happening. We need to know how things are. What's the latest thing? You may not necessarily like it, but you at least have to know what they are into. What's their language? You don't necessarily have to speak it, but you have to know. We are accountable to the students and, of course, to teachers as well. We hold teachers with high regards. Much of our growth in campus ministry has to do with teachers as well. It's like if a teacher so decides to invite his whole class or her whole class in the meeting, then there goes. You have 30 plus students instantly. It's like that. So we know we wanted to, you know, if the teacher says you can't preach the gospel in my school or in my class formally, then we won't do that. Okay? We will respect the teacher. But outside, we can. That's what we do. We build relationship enough so that when we get outside, we'll have connections with them. And also, parents. Parents. We want to make sure that this is a campus ministry that parents would get to appreciate as well. We don't want to do our youth services so late at night so as not to, you know, so that these students won't become a bad story to their parents, staying up so late, coming from what's that? A church meeting or a campus ministry. So these are our shareholders. Now the life of a campus missionary. We're primarily accountable to these three things. This is what we do. You know, that's the kind of a description of our work, and then this is our shareholders. Now this is the life that we're into. We do campus outreaches, we do student discipleship, and we do partner development. Campus outreach is anything that we do inside the campus that would eventually get a student saved. That's just it. If we do life classes there, that may be a stepping point or a starting point. Or if we clean up their classrooms just for that opportunity to build relationship, but I guess the end goal there would always be so that they will be one day having a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's campus outreach for us. That's what we do in the campuses. Now, student discipleship is what we do after they get saved. We want them to go through the four E's. We want them to be engaged, established, equipped, and then empowered. This is where we bring them into the youth services. This is where we do victory groups. It's like the church. It's like a mini church, a mini victory church. Not really mini. I mean, in size, it's also big, but it's more of like an extension of the church, which truly it is. It's still the church, if you come to think of it. And then one of the major differences that we have is that we do partner development. We do partnership development. We do ministry of partnership development. That's like one of the vital things that we do as a campus missionary. We raise support. For most part, you know that as support raising. Most of you are very much influenced by this also, like Miss Anna and your team. You're very much influenced by what we do concerning this, our partnership development. I've got Joe's picture all over there. So when he's not around, that's what you do. You highlight him. At least yung picture niya. Anyway, partnership development is one of the unique things that we feel like we're blessed to do. You know, let me just say this. Siguro when we were smaller as a ministry, I had to do campus ministry during the time when we never had partnership development. There was a time, our season now is that before a campus missionary comes in and would do campus ministry for us, we would ask him, are you willing to commit to do campus ministry for 3 years? That's our first question. During our time when we were asked to do campus ministry full-time, the question for us wasn't like that type. The question for us then was like, handa ka bang magutom? Mga ganun. Handa ka bang ipagpaliban ang lahat? Parang, okay, parang ano ba to? Parang, are we going into a plane crash and stuff like that? So, but just for the sake of the call, we would say, yes, I did campus ministry for 4 years under what we called then as an allowance. We were given an allowance, which was very subjective. If the church had money, we get it. If the church didn't have money, we won't. It was all like that. So, but still, it did stop us. This is something that we wanted to do. It's not like, oh, ano ba naman to? I left, you know, teaching career, I left business career for the sake of doing this, and now here I am, I ended up poorer. We weren't like that, honestly. In fact, I had to tell, I mean, there were several prayers that I've had before thanking God for this opportunity to validate the call in my life and say, this is what I wanted to do, and therefore, if it takes for me to do this, you know, go through this, then so be it. And then came MPD. That was like year 2003. And I was like, wow, thank you for this process. If some people now view MPD as, you know, I just need to do this to be able to do campus ministry. For us who started off, we saw this as a breath of fresh air. Finally, there is a process, you know. But MPD, for most part, it's technical for all of us. It sounds technical for all of us, but for us, as a campus missionary, as campus missionaries, it simply means we're living life by faith. That's what it is for us. This is a life of faith for us. And this is not something that we regret. I'm sure, Joanne, you understand this. Your husband is under MPD. For some of you who are personally affected by MPD, it's more of like, this is the way we would want to live out God's calling for us. We want to raise support. We want to believe that people would partner with what we do in campus ministry, and then as we get reassigned there, they partner with us as well. So that's what we do. It's not for us who are doing MPD. This is not a problem to solve, but a tension to manage. We view this way. It's a tension on our end, you know, wherein, okay, will we have 100% of our support this month? We currently undergo that tension. I still undergo that tension 10 years after doing MPD. I do check my online status every other day. I kid you not. I need to track down its progress. I need to check, but wala pa si ano, ha? Parang malaking bigay nun, ha? Or bakit, I mean, I haven't had, you know, I mean, they're not yet complete. It's still not yet there. So it's almost at the end. Like, ngayon, it's 28. Oh, no. Where is he? Why hasn't he come in? That's just the reality of life for us as campus missionaries. That's what we do. And we've accepted that. Not as a problem. How can I solve that? How can we eliminate that? But it's a tension for us. A tension not just to rely on the skill that was given to us, but a tension to really trust in God. Attention to really just say, God, thank you. Whether this guy comes in or not, whether this support pushes through, whether the check clears out or not, then we will trust in you. We've had better days, okay? We've had worse days. I guess the thought there is, I'd always say this every MPD training, I think for me personally, our worst days were like I only received 20% of my support. My best days were like I received 200% of my support. I mean, imagine that. Wow, piesta yon. But what's the difference between the two aside from the amount? Nothing really. God provided. You know, I never had to owe someone money during my 20% days. I never had to beg for food. I never had to see my child, you know, drag me and say, I need milk, daddy. You know, I didn't see that happen. And in the 200%, well, I wish it would always be like that. Of course, it entails hard work as well. But the thing there is, you know, it's God who provides. That's the tension we're in. We want to see this, work on it, but at the same time, we really would want to trust God. I guess that's how different we are with most of us here as staff. That's what we do. We raise support. But for us, it's this. Different doesn't mean it's wrong, but on our end, different only makes us strong. That's what our motto is. We do things differently, we raise support, and this is to strengthen us. So it's more of like a test of faith for us. Let's do this. Come on, that's why. And you know, frankly, so it's been one of the greatest joys of my life, being able to challenge and raise support and encourage people to be a part of what we're doing, whether they're from church, whether they're from outside the church, or maybe friends and relatives who keeps partnering with us. All right? Again, lastly, we just want to be able to say thank you to each and every one of you. Thank you. Thank you for what you do. Whether you disciple a young person, you affect us so much. Thank you for doing that. We do have, maybe at the end of this year, we will probably have around 300 campus missionaries nationwide. That's just a lot.
But we have like 2,000 colleges and universities in the Philippines. And that's a lot too. None of us would be able to handle that even on our full-time capacity. We need everyone. Thank you for doing what you're doing. We just want to say thank you, of course, for being excellent at what you do. Thank you for processing our finances well. Thank you for giving us rooms, venues. Thank you for lending us your equipments. Thank you for, I hope you don't tolerate us very often, but sometimes tolerating our young and our aggressive attitude. Thank you, but thank you for being excellent with what you do. Also, thank you for obeying the call of God. We're equally under the call of God, okay? We're not called, and then it's not like we're called and you're not. No, you're called. That's why you affect campus ministry. That's why you are, whether you like it or not, you are in campus ministry as well, because you're in every nation. And of course, lastly, thank you for loving the church, okay? I know you could have had better careers outside, honestly. I mean, tingnan mo yung katabi mo. Yan, yung itsura ng tao na yan. Pang ano yan? Hindi ko lang alam kung pang ano. Pero probably if he or she decides to pick another career outside, it could have been better. But thank you for loving Jesus Church so much, enough for you to say yes to what you're doing. Ramir in Victory Fort, Laika in Victory Green Hills, thank you for saying yes to that, okay? And again, on behalf of our campus ministry, thank you for being a part of us and thank you for being a great blessing to us. All right? Thank you, guys.
Thanks, CJ. I hope that really helped. Sometimes we lose sight of some of the bigger pictures. Can we do this in your table just really quickly? How exactly does your work affect campus ministry? Does it affect? If so, how? Like, what of what you do directly or indirectly affects campus ministry? Okay? Ready? Go. Okay, 15 more seconds lang. All right. Okay, well, I hope you all see how it affects, how it impacts. I was just on the CJ just now, and I said, for example, if you're a local church finance officer, processing the MPD transactions is an extra step. It's an extra step. It's outside of the tithes and everything else. You already do the missions. You already do. And then processing the MPD one. Ano pa to? Isa pa to? Iba parang ganun. And then, obviously, you know, the different things that we do on an administrative standpoint, sometimes we get frustrated because we emailed you already. You didn't check yet. Yung ganun. And then, but the average campus minister is expected to be on the campus, is expected to be speaking to campus ministers. You know, an awareness like that really helps shift our own perspectives. And, you know, what can we do now as admin to serve them so that they can do what they're doing much, much easier? Sometimes because we think, you're making my world harder. But sometimes the reality is we're making their world harder as well. So if we both come from the perspective, how can we serve one another so that really at the end of the day, the goal moves forward? It'll really be helpful for us. So that's why we're going through this. Later, we'll go through real life. And then later on, we'll go through missions, okay? So this is helpful.